Welcome back once again to the Extra Point Podcast. Glad you've joined us today. It's Tuesday, May 28th. My name's Todd Stiles. I'm one of the pastors here at First Family. And on the Extra Point Podcast, we take some time to look back at the previous week's text and bring some additional insight, further observation, perhaps deeper application. And today on the 28th, we want to look back at a specific phrase in verse 28 of Colossians 1. In fact, I want to take some time and unpack a very important phrase in there that answers the question that was asked, the question I even have often asked myself, does Colossians 1:18 actually summarize the preaching task or the preaching opportunity? One could say the preaching responsibility. And here's the verse for us. It's part of our longer section from last Sunday. Verse 28 says, and Paul here is writing, he says, "We proclaim him," and I think the "we" there, that pronoun, is referring to those who were ministering there in that local city to that church, as well as those who were traveling with Paul. Some think it may refer to Paul and Timothy, maybe Epaphras there in that city. But there is a specific reference to those who were proclaiming Christ in this type of role of preaching him, of bringing him to those who have yet to hear. And so he says, "We proclaim him, warning and teaching everyone with all wisdom, so that we may present everyone mature in Christ." It's a very succinct sentence, beautiful phraseology, and it's describing the proclamation of Christ with two words, warning and teaching. Let me take some time to kind of unpack these words, help them kind of blossom for you, and then talk about them applicationally for a moment. First of all, Paul says that he is proclaiming Christ. The word there simply means to be the messenger of and for Christ. In fact, the part of the word is the word from where we get the word angel or messenger. And so Paul here is saying he's the messenger, the proclaimer, the announcer. He's not here saying he's a suggester. He's not saying he's one who's trying to find consensus. He's not negotiating. Paul here is declaring something. He's proclaiming. He's delivering a message. And he says that message is delivered in two ways. The two words he uses are the words warning and then teaching. Now, some translations will say admonishing and teaching. The word warn's a good word, though. And so here we have the idea of preaching meaning that of warning as well as that of teaching. Now, I'm a little hesitant to use the idea of a positive and a negative. Sometimes we go there too quickly. And so in this case, we might say, well, warning seems negative, teaching seems positive. I don't think that's Paul's intent, is to say, here's the negative side of preaching or the positive side of preaching. Instead, he's giving us, though, two aspects of preaching. And one takes a more serious, can I even use the word cautionary function? The other takes a more intellectual or mental function. I would say one takes a behavioral function, one takes a belief function. In this case, warning or admonition is aimed at how we're living. Now, here's what I think is very interesting. The word for warning comes from the root word for mind, but it's combined with the word for putting something in place. And so what Paul is saying here is preachers put in place in someone's mind necessary caution. And I think he's speaking here of how to live, how we're to conduct our lives, like what's right and what's wrong. Here's the warnings. Here's the cautions. Here are things to be aware of, things to watch out for, things to pursue. This is what is really entailed in the word warning, is to put into our minds those things necessary for the right kind of living, the right kind of conduct and behavior. In fact, let me just share with you a few verses where this word is used in the New Testament, and you'll see that some of these do involve a sense of caution. Other times, it's used in just normal senses, but in Acts 20, when he's talking to the Ephesian elders, here's what he said there. He said, remember that in 3 years, I ceased not to warn every one of you night and day with tears. Now, you may say, why did Paul use that word there? If you read through the final address to those elders, a good bit of it is about how once he left, he predicted and warned them that wolves would come in among the congregation. So it's a fitting word for that moment to these elders, like, be on the lookout. Let me put this caution in your mind that what lies ahead is an infiltration from those who don't believe correctly and want to corrupt this body of believers. He says in 1 Corinthians 4, this is verse 14, I write not these things to shame you, but as my beloved sons, I warn you. So Paul, when he says difficult things to the Corinthian church, he's not trying to guilt them or embarrass them, but he is intentionally bringing some cautionary items to warn them, to put some things in their mind that would cause them to be aware and alert. I go to some other scriptures here. I like this one in 2 Thessalonians 3. He's speaking of the one who is not working and is exhibiting laziness, or would be what the text would call unruly. He says, count him not as an enemy, but admonish him as a brother. The word admonish there is the word warn. And so he's speaking of how we relate, how we talk to those who are being disobedient. He says in 1 Thessalonians 5, we exhort you, brethren, warn them that are unruly. There again, same word, speaking of those who are living lives of disobedience, or even some people use the word busybodies. He says we're to caution them. We're to put into their mind that there is a wrong way to live and a right way to live. Again, it's pointed towards behavior. Here's what he does in Colossians 3, just a couple of chapters later. He says we're to let the word of Christ dwell richly in us in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. We're to sing with grace in our hearts to the Lord. I love this verse because here are the same words used, and it's done musically, and it's done by all the folks in the church. So while I would say this word is a core descriptor of preaching based on Colossians 1:28, here Paul says the same effect can happen in our music, in our singing to each other, when we admonish and teach with psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. And so understand that there is a sense, not only from the pastoral viewpoint, but also from the congregational viewpoint, that we are to be involved in this idea of admonishing and warning of the right kind of behavior and the wrong kind of behavior. As pastors, as preachers, we are to place in our people's mind, and this is aided when the congregants themselves help us with this. They put in each other's minds as well these cautionary warnings, these words, these things from the Lord's Word, these aspects of Scripture that show us how to live rightly so that we don't live wrongly. This is called warning, and he says here we're to warn every man. This is coupled with the word teaching. The word here is the word didasco. It's the word for doctrine. And this is why I think this aims our preaching at what we believe. Paul here is really thinking in a doctrinal way. So he's saying there's a way we preach that is admonishing, it's warning, it's putting into people's minds the right and the wrong concerning behavior. And then there is this aspect of teaching, which is laying out what we believe. I do believe these work together. They're synergistic. They feed off of each other. We behave in certain ways because we believe certain things. Behavior flows from belief. And Paul here is saying that part of preaching, that was the first word used. He says, we preach Christ and we warn every man and we teach every man. So in some ways, we're saying our teaching is not just an abstract set of doctrinal core beliefs or statements, but it's centered around the person of Christ. And I would say that's true for the word warning. Our cautionary and admonishing type of statements and principles from Scripture, they're really centered around the person of Christ. How did Jesus live? How did he act? What did he do? And then as we think about his person, his character, the second person of the Trinity, Jesus Christ, God's Son, who was he? So we have here the responsibility placed upon those who preach, those who declare and announce the message. We have this responsibility to make sure that we're warning and we're teaching, that our preaching is aimed at making sure we admonish towards a certain kind of behavior and away from a certain kind of behavior, and that we're teaching the right things to believe and the things that we're not to believe, those things that are wrong. This is very interesting to me because when I read through this verse and I think about what's required of pastors, of preachers, what's required, no doubt, of church members, because we did see in Colossians 3, this is something that can happen, at least the admonishing side, can happen by the congregants. Oh, by the way, I should mention to you, in that same verse in Colossians 3, the word teaching's there as well. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing. So we have the very same two words used of what the congregation does for each other. It all comes from the word of God. Just like when we preach the word of God. It's Christ-centered. We proclaim Jesus. And so both of these things are to be present in a pastor's preaching. They're to be present in a congregation's service to each other and their ministry towards one another. These two words, warning and teaching, or admonishing and teaching, behavior and belief. You could even use the words deeds and doctrine. They're really to encapsulate, and I would be comfortable saying they in some ways summarize the preaching ministry. Now, I find that motivating and intriguing, but I find it compelling as well because in our culture, that is seen less and less. I mean, this describes what pastors do when they preach. And yet, in striking ways, we find a very few pastors sometimes who really want to do this. And it's because this is not outwardly acceptable in our culture. Because when you warn and when you teach, when you draw a straight line between what is right and what is wrong, it won't be inclusive teaching. Truth, by its very definition, means that something is being divided. It's being cut apart. We're seeing what's right. We're seeing what's wrong. We're seeing what's acceptable, what's unacceptable. And so this kind of preaching will inevitably divide. Now, I don't mean it brings disunity. That's not the goal. The point is it does clarify. It shines a light. It exposes. And we currently live in a culture where that kind of preaching, and I'll even say to you, that kind of church membership, where that kind of environment is not acceptable. I mean, in our culture, you almost have to give a thumbs up to what anyone feels, what anyone wants to do, what they think they are, or what they want to pursue. You have to almost say, well, everyone has their own truth. They have their own right. And to actually have a church environment, a pastor, a set of preachers, a congregation who's willing to call out wrong and to shine a light on what's right, to say, here's what's right to believe and here's what's wrong to believe, our culture would say that's offensive. They would say we're intolerant. And I think this is one of the reasons that many pastors and many churches have gone soft. That's a word I use intentionally. They've gone broad because they are, for some reason, I think it's a cultural reason, it's the desire to be approved by men, but they've gone soft, they've gone broad. They're trying to widen the message as much as possible so to offend as few people as possible. But I'm reminded of what Jesus said in his Sermon on the Mount. He warned us. He put this into our minds that broad is the way that leads to destruction, but narrow is the way that leads to life. And so there is a soft type of preaching that really doesn't do anyone any good. And I'm not speaking that preaching has to be impolite. I don't think preaching has to be offensive in the sense that we are personally offensive. But the message will be offensive. There's just no way around the fact that true preaching, and I believe true church membership, true church environments bring to light what's right. They put into our minds correctly and appropriately what's wrong, and they call us not only to believe the right things, but to then behave the right way. This is part and parcel to being a pastor or a preacher and to being a church member. To be willing to walk the hard way, to be willing to avoid the soft message, to embrace the narrow gate, to say no to the broad way. Because that way, the broad way, the soft way, it leads to destruction. But narrow, hard, that's the gate, that's the way that leads to life. And I want to encourage you in this current culture to be willing to embrace the offensiveness, and I would even say the divisiveness, that truth naturally brings. I don't want to encourage anyone to be impolite. I don't want to encourage anyone to be offensive in their habits or to be mannerly in a way, to be ill-mannered or to conduct themselves in a way that, is unruly. We're not speaking of that at all. And I suspect there'll be some who will misinterpret this, hear what I'm not saying, and they'll think I'm calling for some kind of disposition that's just rude. I'm not at all. I think some of the models that I look to in their communication and in their preaching styles and in their pastoral posture are ones who are very kind and very polite, but they draw very straight lines. And in all transparency, that is my desire, to draw very straight lines based on the Word of God so that there is clarity not only in the pulpit but also in the church. That's helpful because now we are being admonished and taught. It's being put into our minds how we should then live in light of what we believe. In fact, in just a real, vulnerable moment here, I just want to share with you, I think this is why about 2 weeks ago, I made the statement. I've never made this, I don't think, in 20 years of preaching here at First Family, but I did say in the 8:30 service that if you're not on board a missional church, if you're not on board being part of a church where the mission of God matters most, and then I made this statement, there's 40-some-odd churches in Ankeny you can go to. Now, could I have said that in a better way? Possibly. I'm not going to deny that I could have. I don't say everything perfectly. My point in that was to bring clarity that we have an obligation to make sure that our church is really pursuing the mission of God. We don't get to pursue our hobbies. We don't get to make our agendas God's agenda. He's left us in His Word the clear objective of the church is to make disciples of all nations. And admittedly, that can be done in a variety of ways. So I'm all for variety and preferences regarding how that gets done. Some have different emphases. Some have different skills and gifts. Amen to every bit of that. As long as all of those differences and varieties are leaned against the wall of God's mission, I want to applaud the various ways to get it done. Those are all missional. And my intent in that moment was to make sure that everyone in that room, at our campuses, in our services, understands we don't decide the mission. God has given it. And if you're not really up to investing in that mission with your time, your resources, your energy, your attention, like, I'm not offended if you find a different church. Why? Because you're going to waste your time here. You're going to be frustrated. We have one objective, the mission of God. It's being a multiplying, reproducing church. It's sending. It's going. It's witnessing and discipling. We say it like this, is developing devoted followers. So that's our aim. And I think it's actually kindness. I've always said clarity is kindness. And to be able to say to our church, hey, here's our mission, to be clearly kind about that so that those who are checking out First Family, maybe those who are visiting, will know up front, okay, so that's what you're all about, then they can make an informed decision. I've put into their mind what we believe and how we want to behave. Then they can make their decision, and they're not wasting a year or two trying to figure out why they're frustrated or why it's not working here. And so I just want you to hear, I think that's an effective thing to say at the right time and in the right way. And no doubt there are probably better ways to say it, but this is what was behind my effort that day to say to people, hey, listen, here's what God is all about, the Great Commission. We are commanded to be all about that. So if that's not what you're all about, please don't feel bad about finding a church. I would say if a church isn't about that, it's probably a soft church. It's probably a church not really getting after God's mission. I would suggest one not go there. But let's just be clear. My main responsibility is to make sure our church is on mission with our elders and our staff, our deacons, to make sure that we are pursuing God's agenda. And so in that moment, I was aiming to admonish and teach, explain what God says, what we believe, and how we're to adjust our life to it. Now, in light of that, you may say, well, Todd, why does that matter so much? You know, warning and teaching with all wisdom, preaching Christ with these two descriptors, you know, why does that matter so much? And the verse lays out for us the end game so that we can present every man perfect in Christ Jesus. The real sense of the last part of Colossians 1:28 is that we want to see people mature. And so because maturity matters, your growth matters, the word here is the word for perfect or completion, because we want to see you actually, move towards maturity. We are going to embrace warning and teaching, or you could use these words, admonishing and teaching. We're going to get our hands around what it looks like to actually put into your mind a scripture that brings caution to us about living, how we should live, how we should not live. We're going to put into your mind, we're going to teach you a set of doctrines. We're going to show you what beliefs should be held to and embraced and which ones should not. Hopefully we can even teach which beliefs are, you know, first tier beliefs, the ones you would, die for, which beliefs are second tier, the ones that you possibly would divide over. Then there's third level beliefs, the ones you can debate but still be in good fellowship with, right? I mean, there's different levels to these. We want to teach you what those are, but in both of those responsibilities, admonishing and teaching or warning and teaching, we have to admit this. The natural result, the inevitable result, is that there will be division. You could even use the word decisions. People will make decisions about what they're going to do with those things. And some will choose not to accept it. Some will choose to accept it. This is exactly what Jesus did throughout his ministry in the New Testament. He gave truth clearly, kindly, and he laid it out for people. And so we are following that as we proclaim Christ. And I want to say to you, just in as much humility as I can, we're not doing this perfectly. We've got a lot to learn. I've got a ton to learn about how to do this. My main goal is to make sure that we don't run away from this task. Yes, let's embrace a posture of learning how to do it better. And as we train pastors, as we work with our residents who are going to plant churches or campuses, as we send our partners to other regions of the world, yes, we want to say, hey, let's work at doing this better. But whatever we do, let's not think for a moment this isn't our obligation. Let's remember this is our responsibility. I would say this summarizes the preaching mandate, warning and teaching every man in all wisdom. Why? Because maturity matters. Growth matters. And so to do that, we must embrace the responsibility of putting caution into the minds of our people, putting warnings, admonishing them towards the right kind of behavior and away from the wrong kind, and then teaching, didactically showing what's right to believe and what's wrong to believe. And then trusting the Lord will use both of these and they'll feed off each other and they will be what, based on his word, they will be what really feeds the growth in all of us. That really is the task of a pastor, the task of a preacher. And I think it is the goal of a church environment to have both admonishing and teaching going on at the same time in their various environments, and that pastors and preachers are willing to lead that charge so that a church is known because it proclaims Christ. That's our goal, and I pray you'll increasingly embrace this as a church, and perhaps to those who are listening that are pastors, and as a pastor and preacher, embrace this goal to preach Christ by warning and teaching so that you can then present those who are listening mature in Christ.
Thanks for listening to the Extra Point Podcast. To find more content and resources to grow deeper in your relationship with Jesus, go online to firstfamily.church/resources.